नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। धातु पप्लव आसन्ने व्यक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ह्यव्यक्तायपकर्षति। धातु पप्लव आसन्ने व्यक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ह्यव्यक्तायापकर्षति। धातु पप्लव आसन्ने व्यक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ही अव्यक्तायपकर्षति। धातु पप्लव आसन्ने विरक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ही अव्यक्तायपकर्षति। धातु पप्लव आसन्ने व्यक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ह्यव्यक्तायपकर्षति। धातु पप्लव आसने व्यक्तं द्रव्यगुणात्मकं अनादि निधन कालो ह्यव्यक्तायापकर्षति। वर्ड टू वर्ड। धातु ऑफ द मटेरियल एलिमेंट्स उपप्लवे द डिसोल्यूशन आसन्ने व्हेन इट हैज बिकम इमिनेंट व्यक्तम द मैनिफेस्ट कॉस्मोस। द्रव्य ग्रॉस ऑब्जेक्ट्स। गुण एंड द सटल मोड्स। आत्मकम कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ अनादि विदाउट बिगिनिंग निधन और एंड कालह टाइम ही इंडीड अव्यक्ताय इनटू द अनमैनिफेस्ट अपकर्षति ड्रॉज। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His form of eternal time, withdraws the manifest cosmos, consisting of gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. Purport. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapiladev teaches that the material nature originally exists in an inert state of equilibrium called Pradhan. When Lord Vishnu casts his potent glance in the form of Kal or time, material interactions take place, culminating in the variegated creation of the material cosmos. In this verse, it is stated that at the end of universal time, the same Kal that originally incited the female nature into manifestation again withdraws the cosmos into its original state of inert non-manifestation. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the time potency itself, Kal, is then withdrawn and it merges into the Supreme Soul, who manifests himself as the original cause of material nature, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Such technical arrangements for creation and annihilation, birth and death, do not exist in the eternal spiritual kingdom of God. In the spiritual sky, the variegated spiritual enjoyment of the Lord and His devotees is not hampered by the inferior cycles of birth, maintenance and destruction found in the material world.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swame Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So first of all, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here, so that I can speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for the pleasure of the devotees. So we'll briefly summarize this chapter, the verses that have been discussed so far. So in this chapter, Maharaj Nimi is asking four questions to the Navayogendras. So the first question that he asks is, what is Maya? The second question that he asks is, what is the way, the means to overcome Maya? The third question is, who is Narayan? What is the Swarup of Narayan? And the fourth question is, what is Karma Yoga? So in this way, in this entire chapter, he will ask four questions, and right in the first verse of this chapter, he begins by asking the first question of, what is Maya? So Maharaj Nimi says, Parasya Vishnor Ishasya Mayinam Api Mohinim Mayam Veditum Ichchamo Bhagavanto Bravantunah. So he is asking the question that please explain to me this Maya Shakti, which is so powerful that Mayinam Api Mohinim, that it can bewilder even the great mystic yogis. So this verse is teaching us that why is Maya very powerful? Because it is connected to Vishnu. Parasya Vishnur Ishasya. Because it is conducted under Vishnu's control, Maya is very powerful. And what is its power? That it can bewilder even the great yogis. Then in text 2, the king says that I am eager to hear this Krishna Katha, even though in the previous chapter you have glorified the pure devotees, but still I want to hear more about Krishna. I am not satisfied. He expresses his enthusiasm. Then text 3 onwards, Antariksh, the Navayogendra, he starts beginning the answer to the question. So Antariksh says, Ebhir Bhutani Bhutatma Mahabhuter Mahabhuja Sasarjo Chavachani Adya Sva Matratma Prasiddhaye. So in this verse, he gives what is the purpose of this Maya Shakti. Why does it exist? So he says, Sva Matra Atma Prasiddhaye. That it exists for two purposes. One is to fulfill the desires of the living entity, and second is for the living entity to realize the self, Krishna consciousness. So third verse, fourth verse, two verses, Antariksh, he basically describes the Maya potency in terms of its qualities, its gunas. And he describes the gunas in terms of its effects. What is the effect of the gunas? That means creation, maintenance and destruction. The three gunas affect the three principles of creation, maintenance and destruction. So in text 3 and 4 he talks about creation, how this material world is created. And then text 5, text 6 and text 7, in three verses Antariksh talks about how this material world is maintained, how this material world continues, carries on, how this samsara is maintained. And in today's verse, he will begin describing how this material world is destroyed. He will, in the next 8 verses, he will talk about how the material creation is destroyed. So in the Bhagavatam, is very clear, it is distinguishing between two principles. The Bhagavatam distinguishes between illusion and the illusory energy. Generally the Mayavadis, they confuse between the two and they conflate and say that illusion and the illusory energy, even the illusory energy of the Lord is illusion. Everything is an illusion. But the Bhagavatam very clearly categorizes the distinction between the two. So in text number 1, he says illusory energy is actually Lord Vishnu's energy, so it is substantial. But what is illusion? That is described in text number 5. So to understand these two things, illusion and illusory energy, we will just take an example from our day-to-day life. So in our day-to-day life, we have learnt in our childhood that in school we have learnt, if you take a container containing a liquid and you dip a rod into it. So when you see the rod, the part which is beneath the liquid, it has a bent shape. It seems as if the rod has been bent inside the liquid. Now, whether you take a kid who is seeing this situation or whether there is an adult who is seeing this situation, for both the kid and the adult, it's the same. It looks bent. The experience of the rod being bent is the same. So this is the illusory energy of the Lord. The illusory energy is a combination of material elements which gives the same experience to everybody, whether it is a kid or whether it is an adult. But what is the difference is that an adult, because he knows, when he takes out the rod out of water, he knows what is the shape, that it actually is straight, it is not bent. So he has that experience. And he also has the knowledge of the phenomena that it is happening, the rod is bending because of the refraction of light. So because he has the experience and he has the knowledge, therefore he doesn't fall into that illusion, thinking that the rod is bent. But the child who doesn't have that experience and who doesn't have that knowledge, he actually believes that the rod is bent. So what is the difference? The illusory energy puts forward the perception that there is a rod which is bent, but the illusion is to believe that the rod is bent. So that is the difference between the illusion and the illusory energy. So that's why in text number 5, Antariksha says, What is the illusion for the living entity? Manyamana idam srishtam atmanam iha sajjate. So Antariksha is telling, to believe that I am this body, this false identity, that is actually the illusion. Just like the child believes that the rod is actually bent, that is the illusion. In the case of this rod and the child, simple knowledge and experience is sufficient to come out of this illusion. But this illusion which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam is so deep rooted that merely by knowledge and experience, worldly knowledge and worldly experience, it is not possible to come out of this illusion. That's why in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, after Vedavyas receives the instructions from Narad Muni, so Vedavyas, he starts meditating on Krishna, and then he realizes what actually is the position of Krishna. Apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatad apashrayam. And then in the next verse, he talks about the position of maya. What does it do? Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam tat yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartham tat kritam chabhipadyate. So here, Vyasdev is telling the same thing which is being talked about here in the 11th canto. That maya is to identify something which I am not. When the soul identifies itself to be the body, that is maya. That is the illusion. But then Vyasdev doesn't just stop with diagnosing the problem. He also gives the treatment, the solution. So he says, anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. He gives the treatment that one can come out of this maya, one can become free from this anartha by the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yogam adhokshaje. So somebody may ask the question, what is this bhakti? How is this bhakti to be attained? So in the next verse, he says, yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne parama purushe bhaktir utpadyate pumsah shokamoha bhayapah. So here Vedavyas is telling that the treatment is bhakti, and how is the bhakti to be obtained? Yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne parama purushe. Simply by hearing Krishna katha, one can get the bhakti. Bhaktir utpadyate pumsah shokamoha bhayapah. He says, Vedavyas says, the thing that you get is actually bhakti to Krishna, but as a byproduct of the process of hearing, you get another benefit, which is shoka moha bhayapaha. You become free from illusion, lamentation and fear. So this is the process which is given in the Bhagavatam for us, regular hearing of Krishna katha, by which we develop bhakti. So even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find the same thing is mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. He talks in the Sanatan Shiksha, Kama krodhera dasa hoya tara lathi khaye, bhramite bhramite yadi sadhu vaidya paye, tara upadesha mantre pishachi palaye, Krishna bhakti paye tabe Krishna nikata jaye. That the living entity under the influence of maya, he experiences so many kicks. Kama krodhera dasa hoya tara lathi khaye, and he moves around in this cycle of birth and death. But tara upadesh mantre pishachi palai. If he is fortunate enough, Prabhupada says, if by chance the living entity comes in contact with a sadhu vaidya, a devotee doctor, a sadhu who is also a physician, and under his instructions he agrees to abide by his order, then he can actually get Krishna bhakti and become free from the illusory energy. So Srila Prabhupada writes, if by chance the living entity meets a saintly person who works on Krishna's behalf to deliver conditioned soul, and if he agrees to abide by his order, he can gradually approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So two things Srila Prabhupada mentions in this verse. One is, if by chance he has a good fortune of meeting a devotee. And second is, if he agrees to abide by the order of the devotee, then he can get delivered from the clutches of maya. So I was thinking that which pastime in the Bhagavatam can actually teach us this principle of how a living entity who experiences the kicks of Maya by good fortune comes in contact with a sadhu and following his instructions, he actually achieves the success, perfection of life. So to understand this, I'll just discuss briefly from the pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj, which comes in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 7th chapter to the 13th chapter, the glories of Vritrasura is explained. How Shukadeva Goswami, he brings about the glorious qualities of Vritrasura, comparing it with the qualities of Indra. That Indra was so attached to his position that he offends his spiritual master Brihaspati, he kills Vishwarup, he is ready to cause the death of Dadichi just to get the weapon, and ultimately he is ready to fight with Vritrasura and kill him. But Vritrasura is not at all afraid of death, and he is not attached to any position because he is completely surrendered to Krishna. And Vritrasura actually chastises Indra right in the battlefield, right when the battle is going on, saying that you are so attached to your position that if you are actually a devotee of Krishna, your mind would be peaceful and free from material desires. So indirectly Vritrasura is pointing to Indra that your devotion is not true. You actually have not surrendered to the Lord. If you had surrendered to the Lord, you would not be attached to your position. So in this way, Shukadev Goswami is bringing about the glorious devotion of Vritrasura, how he is completely surrendered to Krishna. So hearing this, Parikshit Maharaj is very surprised. Parikshit Maharaj, in the 14th chapter, he asks this question to Shukadev Goswami, that how is it possible that a demon who is completely under the clutches of three modes, who has committed so many sinful activities and who is under the influence of Rajogun and Tamogun, how can he act as a devotee? How can he get bhakti? From where did he get this attachment to Narayan, that right in the middle of the battlefield, he is still displaying unflinching faith in Vishnu? Even if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is actually speaking philosophy to Arjun before the battle began. But in the case of Vritrasura, Vritrasura is having so fixed Krishna consciousness that he is able to speak philosophy to Indra right when the battle is going on. So actually this question Parikshit Maharaj asked to Shukadev Goswami, that right at the peak of battle, how is Vritrasura able to maintain his Krishna consciousness? How did he get this glorious position? I am surprised, because he is such a sinful person. He is a demon. How can a person who is under the control of three modes display bhakti? So saying like this, Parikshit Maharaj says that I am eager to hear about Vritrasura. Please explain. Then Shukadeva Goswami says, good that you have asked this question, because it is connected to Krishna. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, I will now relate to you the story which I have heard from Vedavyas, Narad Muni and Devala. And then he begins to speak about the previous history of Vritrasura. So Shukadeva Goswami says that in the province of Shurasen, once there was a king by the name of Chitraketu. He was the ruler of the entire earth, and he had all the opulence that could be thought of, but he had one desire, the desire to have a child. And because of this one desire to have a child, he married not once, not twice, he had millions of wives. But then by fate, he saw that all of the wives were barren and none of them could give him a child. So one lesson we can learn from this is that when a living entity is desperately attached to one sense object, trying to obtain it, he gets more and more entangled. Just like Chitraketu Maharaj got more and more entangled with more and more marriages and relationships, similarly living entity gets more and more entangled just to get the sense object. As the Bhagavatam says, manyamanam idam srishtam atmanam iha sajjate. He becomes more and more entangled because of this false identification. So Chitraketu is also showing that symptom of becoming more and more entangled. So then Shukadeva Goswami continues that Chitraketu Maharaj had everything that one could ask for, all the personal good qualities. He was charitable, he was rich, he had great wives, he had great kingdom, but still he was not satisfied because he could not obtain a child. So this is actually the nature of the Maya or the illusory energy, that a person who does not have anything, he is aspiring to have many things materially, thinking that if I have these things, I will be happy. But Chitraketu Maharaj, the Bhagavatam shows that he had all these things, yet he was not satisfied. So material energy never shows us the complete picture. Material energy always shows us one fraction and makes us think that if I have this, I will be happy. But it doesn't make us think that all those people who are having those material facilities, they are also unhappy. So that full picture is not shown by the illusory energy. And then Shukdev Goswami says, Tasyai kada tu bhavanam angira bhagavan rishi lokan anucharan etan upagachet yadrichaya. So here Shukdev Goswami says that one day by fate, yadrichaya, Angira Muni came to the bhavana, house of Chitraketu Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada translates yadrichaya as that Angira Muni did not have any engagement. So one may think that Angira Muni was a jobless person who did not have any work to do. So I just checked the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says yadrichaya means he came uninvited. That means he did not have an agenda to fulfill and he did not have a prior appointment with the king. He just came uninvited. So here we can see it's a case of pure mercy that Angira Muni is bestowing upon Chitraketu. So as we discussed previously from the verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrit, where Prabhupada says, if by chance the living entity gets the opportunity to meet a devotee, his good fortune begins. So here, Chitraketu Maharaj by chance got the opportunity to meet Angira. So what did Chitraketu do? Immediately he stood up, he respected Angira and he worshipped him, offered him a seat, and then Angira Muni starts speaking to him. And Angira Rishi says, so how is your health? How is your kingdom? How are the people under you? Are they all happy? And then finally he asks, are you happy? And then Angira Muni says, is your mind controlled? By that, Angira Muni is actually giving him the hint that if your mind is controlled, only then you can experience happiness. After that, Angira Rishi says, that I can see in your face, from your face, that actually you are not happy. Because face is the index of the mind. I can see that you have some desire which is unfulfilled because of which you are not experiencing happiness. And then Chitraketu Maharaj immediately says, yes, yes, the reason I am not happy is because I don't have a child. I am hankering for this. Just like a person who is hungry and thirsty, even if he is given garlands and sandalwood pulp and sweet words, he is not satisfied till he gets food and water to drink. Similarly, I will not be satisfied till I get this one child. So Angira Muni, he sees as an expert vaidya, as a physician, he diagnoses that this person is too attached to having a child. So at that stage, what he does, he decides, instead of giving him instructions, I will actually give him a son. So he does a sacrifice to a demigod, and in that sacrifice he makes an offering of rice, and the prasad of that sacrifice, the rice prasad, he gives it to Kritadyuti, the wife of Chitraketu. So Chitraketu's wife, she eats that rice, and then Angira Muni says a very important thing, Athaha Nripatim Rajan Bhavitaikas Tavatmajah Harsha Shoka Pradastubhyam Iti Brahma Suto Yayum Yayau. So very important verse, where Angira Muni is thinking that what is going to be the future of this Chitraketu? What is he going to experience in the future? So Angira Rishi is thinking that this child he is going to have, that is going to be the cause of his harsha, his joy, and his shoka, his lamentation. He is going to experience joy because of the birth of the child, and he is going to experience lamentation because of the death of the child. So this is the thought process of Angira. But then he also thinks that anyway, when the child is born and the child is going to die, the king is going to experience the harsha and the shoka.
So what is the need for me to tell the king that Harshashok, this child is going to be cause of Harshashok? But then Angira thinks that later when the king starts lamenting, he will reproach me, he will rebuke me that why didn't you tell me before that this child is going to be the cause of my suffering. So therefore Angira Muni decides, I will speak the verse in such a way that he will get a hint. So he says Harshashok, so that later he cannot rebuke me that you did not warn me before, like that. So Harshashoka Pradastubhyam. But now the best part is Angira Muni speaks the shloka with some purpose in mind, that this person should actually get the hint, because right now the child is not yet born, because the king has not yet impregnated the wife, only that she has eaten the yagya prasad. But how does the king interpret it? Chitraketu Maharaj, because he is having faith in Angira Rishi, now he sees there is some hope. He sees that there is some hope to have a child, and because of this hope, he interprets the Harshashoka differently. So he thinks that the child is going to be the cause of my Harsha, because he will grow up to be such a wonderful king with great qualities. So he will give me great happiness. And he will give me suffering also, shok also, because he will surpass me in all good qualities to such an extent that I will not be able to control him. And because I will not be able to control him, so therefore there will be some experience of shok, grief. So in this way he interprets the instructions of Angira Rishi. And then finally he concludes that, okay, whatever the shok comes, so be it. I am ready to tolerate and go through that grief. So thinking like that, he decides to have the child. So this is the condition, the situation of the living entity, that the living entity has great hope. And as soon as the living entity sees that there is a hope for me, for my material desire to be fulfilled, he actually becomes more and more entangled. So there is a nice shloka in the Shubhashits which explains about this situation of the living entity. It says, Ratrir gamishyati bhavishyati suprabhatam bhaswan udeshyati hasishyati pankajashri iti vichintayati koshagate dvirephe ha hanta hanta nalinam gaja ujjahara. So it talks about the situation of a honeybee. So the honeybee, in search for nectar, it actually enters into the lotus during the daytime, and it becomes so absorbed in drinking the nectar that as the twilight is approaching and the evening time is approaching, he is seeing that the lotus is closing its petals and he is going to be stuck inside. But still he has one hope. What is the hope? That now the night has come, tomorrow the day will come, and when the day comes, again the petals will open and I can fly out of the lotus. Ratrir gamishyati bhavishyati suprabhatam. The night will end and the day will begin. Bhaswan udeshyati, again the sunlight will come. Hasishyati pankajashri, the pankaja, the lotus will again start blooming, smiling because of the sunlight. Iti vichintayati, thinking like this. Kosha gate dvirephe, the bee, kosha gate, enters more and more deep into the lotus. Iti vichintayati, thinking that tomorrow the sunlight will come. But what happens? Ha hanta hanta nalinam gaja ujjahara. In the night time, a mad elephant enters the garden and crushes the lotus, and along with that, the bee also dies. So in this way, we can see Chitraketu Maharaj, even though he was given the hint that the child is going to be the cause of future lamentation, but because he had the hope that in the future the child will give me so much happiness, kosha gate, he entered more and more deep into the material life and decided to have the child. But he did not know what is going to happen. So the living entity enters a situation with various false hopes and expectations, but what actually the situation turns out to be is something very much different from what he expects, what he wants. So in this way we know the story, that how he has a child and then the child gives great happiness to the king, and seeing the king happy, the queen also becomes happy, their affection for the child increases, all the members of the family and the kingdom become very happy. But we know that because of that, the other queens become envious of the Kritadyuti, and they decide, they make a plot to kill this child. So they put poison in the child's food and they kill the child. So after the death of the child, when the queen comes to know, she starts lamenting. And when she starts lamenting, she actually begins her lament by blaming the creator, blaming God, that why did you create like this? First thing you did is, you created the father without an ability to have a child. Second thing, finally he had a child, but you made the child die before the father. Usually in creation, first the father dies, then the child dies. So your creation, you have said something wrong in your creation. Because way you have created, because of the child dying, there can be no future progeny. So how will the creation continue? So in this way, she finds fault with the Lord due to her lamentation. And that's what happens with us also. Because we are so attached to sense objects, when that is taken away from us, we start lamenting and start blaming the creator, that why the creator does not facilitate my desires to enjoy. So in this way it goes on, and finally the king also comes to know that the child is dead, and the king also starts lamenting. And the king starts lamenting to such an extent, he starts fainting, he comes up and again he faints, again he comes up. And then finally it looks as if the king is about to die because of his grief. At that time, again Angira Muni and Narad Muni, they decide to shower mercy again on the king, seeing that he is almost about to die because of his lament. But now, this time, Angira Muni and Narad Muni, they come in disguise. They don't come as they are. They come wearing some other clothes. They come in disguise. So after Angira Rishi and Narad Muni come, they start speaking philosophy, that how everything in this world is temporary, people come together by karma, just like sands come together and they are separated by time, by their karma. So in this way, Angira Rishi gives lot of philosophy to Chitraketu Maharaj, and Chitraketu Maharaj becomes pacified. And Chitraketu Maharaj starts glorifying Angira and Narad, but he actually doesn't know who these people are. He says, you people are great souls, and great souls on behalf of the Lord, they travel all over the world and give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others just to deliver fallen people like us. So in this way he glorifies the devotees. So after that, after hearing that, Angira Muni reveals their identity, both of them, that we are actually Narad Muni and I am that same person who gave you the son. And then Angira Muni speaks a very interesting verse, which actually is like the crux of the whole thing, of the whole pastime. Itham tvam putra shokena magnam tamasi dustare atad arham anusmritya mahapurusha gocharam anugrahaya bhavata prapta avam iha prabho brahmanyo bhagavat bhakto nana vasaditum arhasi. So here Angira Muni tells many important things. He says that why did we actually decide to come back again to your palace? Because he says, Mahapurusha Gochara, you had one quality. Even though you had many disqualifications, that you were unnecessarily attached to your son to an extent which is not deserving, Atad Arham. Still you had one quality. What is that? Mahapurusha Gocharan. You had the ability to respect the devotees. When Angira first came to the palace, immediately, you know, Chitraketu got up and he respected and worshipped him. Mahapurusha Gocharan. And again, now also, Chitraketu Maharaj is glorifying that the great devotees, they travel all over the world to deliver people. So in this way, you are respecting and recognizing the devotees. And Brahmanyo Bhagavat Bhakto. So, Angira Muni, he calls Chitraketu Maharaj as Brahmanyo Bhagavat Bhakto, that you are a devotee because you have rendered service to the devotees. When Angira Muni first came to the palace, Chitraketu Maharaj rendered him personal service. And Chitraketu Maharaj, because of his respect for devotees, even though he was going through all this material crisis, still he had the attitude of respecting devotees and serving devotees, because of which Angira Muni says, you are Brahmanyo Bhagavat Bhakto, you are a devotee. And because of this, we both have decided to give our mercy to you. Anugrahaya Bhavata Praptav Avam Iha Prabho. So here Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in the purport that actually that was a vision of Angira Muni, that he is seeing Chitraketu Maharaj as a devotee because he respected the devotees and he had an attitude of service to the devotees. He rendered some service. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur clarifies, actually Chitraketu Maharaj was not a devotee at all by any standard. So very clearly Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying that Chitraketu Maharaj was not a devotee, rather it was the vision of Angira Muni who saw Chitraketu Maharaj as a devotee. So this is actually our hope by this pastime, that by good fortune in our own life we have got the chance to get the association of devotees. But how do we continue to get the mercy? The mercy flows when we continue to maintain the attitude of respect towards devotees and somehow get connected to the process of service to devotees. And because Chitraketu Maharaj did this, even though he was not by any standard considered a devotee, still Angira Muni and Narad Muni decided to give him more mercy, thinking that he has served the devotees. So in this way, we can learn in our own life as a sadhaka, because we are having struggle with our material desires and also the desire to obtain Krishna, that how we can continue to receive the mercy, that just like Chitraketu Maharaj continued to be connected to the process of devotional service by respecting the devotees and serving the devotees, in the same way in our own life, we can also hope for receiving the mercy of the great souls. And what happened? By receiving the mercy of Narad Muni and Angira Rishi, Narad Muni actually shows him the situation that this child, he re-enters the body of the king and the child starts speaking philosophy. And once the child starts speaking philosophy, the king and the queen, everybody become enlightened. And they decide, no more sense gratification, no more desire to have a child. Bas, enough. And now he decides, I simply want to hear about Krishna. He asks Narad Muni, you give me further instructions and mantra about how to worship Krishna and obtain Krishna. As we discussed, that Tara Upadesha Mantra Pishachi Palaya, that by the instructions and the mantra given by the great devotees, one becomes free from the influence of the illusory energy. So Chitraketu Maharaj also, by the instructions and the process of devotional service given by Narad Muni, he became free from the illusory energy and actually obtained the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and he became a great devotee. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami, he explains the whole pastime of how Chitraketu Maharaj became a fixed devotee of the caliber of Vritrasura. He became a fixed devotee because he received the mercy of Narad Muni and Angira, and he was able to receive, the patrata was there, he was able to receive the mercy because he was connected. He made sure that he remained connected to the process of devotional service by respecting the devotees and serving the devotees. So in this way, Chitraketu Maharaj could raise himself from the standard where Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says Chitraketu was not a devotee at all, to the extent that he became Vritrasura, where he became a pure devotee. So there is hope for us also, that acharyas know that we are not a devotee at all, but still if we remain connected to the process of devotional service in this way, following in the footsteps of Chitraketu, there can come a day when we can also say, bas, enough, no more of desire for sense gratification. Just the desire for service to the Lord, the desire to obtain the Lord, can come in our own life. So in this way, by the mercy of the great devotees, the living entity can attain perfection and become free obtain liberation from the illusory energy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.